Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs of 1-1. I'm your host Marty McDermott with my co-host Don Johnston, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Jason Parker from the K9 Resorts Franchise Opportunity, and in segment two we will discuss everything K9 Resorts, a doggy daycare and overnight boarding franchise, and the unique entrepreneur story of the founders Jason and Stephen Parker. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com. where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnston. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Hey, Marty. How are you? I'm doing great.
I'm hanging in. You know, a little cold this week, Don, you know, battling that, you know, but otherwise,
the weather. Okay.
Yeah, feeling well, you know, it's feeling better, I should say, is yeah. A better way to put it. Our last show, Don, we met with Derek Henze of Topper's Pizza, and if you missed the show, Derek, 28 years old, franchisee with Topper's Pizza, he signed for 3 stores in Minneapolis, Minnesota market, expecting to open his first one in July of 2011. Derek served in the U.S. Army for 8 years as a field artillery specialist and Army paralegal. serving one tour in Iraq from 2003 to 2004. He's a college graduate from University of Wisconsin, and real entrepreneur. He's a very likable guy. I mentioned to you, Don, that I met him in person, and I think you felt the same way. I thought it was a very interesting and different type of show, wasn't it?
Interesting, and what I always want to know is how did somebody decide on a particular franchise, especially in food and in pizza, where there's so many different franchises in that particular segment. Why Topper's Pizza? But we heard the story. He met the founder, CEO of Topper's, I guess, while in college. He then worked in the corporate office, really got to know the franchise system, and made sense that he wanted to have his own restaurants. And, you know, just a really mature guy for 28. I guess maybe the military had something to do with that. And there's no doubt that he's, you know, he's probably going to build an empire over the next 10 years.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to be very successful. It was interesting. I don't know if you asked him or I asked him. You know, we said, you know, why franchising? Because when you meet Derek and you talk to him, he really is an entrepreneur. You get that sense just from talking to him. He's got that creativity about him. And he gave a great response. You know, he said if you look at the timeline, you know, when you buy a franchise, it's a lot shorter than when you start something on your own. And George Native, you referenced this a couple weeks ago, he said that too. He said franchising gives you the ability to start on third base. In other words, you can get home a lot quicker from third base than you could, you know, from first base. So I thought that was a great response, wasn't it? You know, the timeline is shorter. You know, you got brand recognition. The system is established. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. And the culture seems like a good match for Derek as well, working in this type of industry as well. It seems like a fun kind of franchise, doesn't it? You know, you're working with a younger group, it sounds like. And, you know, pizza is just fun anyway, isn't it? You don't usually just think
who doesn't like pizza?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, you go for pizza. You know,
how do all these pizza franchises do well? I mean, you never hear of any pizza franchise system not doing well, I guess, because everybody loves
it.
It's cheap. It's pretty good profit margins in making pizza pies.
In pizza, absolutely. No, that's true. So, I mean, it really was. It was a great show. I'm glad we had him on because it was a little different. You and I talk so often about younger franchisees. You know, we talk about having a military background and going into franchising, and we talk about can an entrepreneur go into a franchise? You know, and it's been interesting. This month, Don, for me, has been one of the most interesting months of doing franchise interviews in the 4 years we've been doing the show. It was a couple weeks back when we had Bagger Dave's. I thought that was a fascinating show, too, that a franchisee decides to become a franchisor. You know, we've seen franchisors becoming franchisees, you know, and vice versa. But it's just, it's always such a fascinating topic to me. I don't know why. I just, you know, I guess you get into the whole theory of entrepreneurship, you know, and so it was a good show. So I'd like to, you know, I stay in touch with Derek. I email him from time to time. He's, I think he's going to finish up on that documentary, Don. You know, he filmed his whole process of looking for a franchise, and I saw clips of it, and it really is fascinating. I think I could see something like that on a TLC or one of those cable shows or something, you know, because it could really educate aspiring entrepreneurs on how to buy a franchise, what to look for, and obstacles you may run into. I think his biggest obstacle right now, would you say, sounds like the location thing. I know he's going through that right now. You know, and I know you know a little bit about that and some of the challenges it could be to sometimes find that killer location.
Right.
So that's tough, too. You know, so, we'll get updates on all this again. He's keeping track and he's documenting all this on video, so it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. So what do we got going on today, Don?
Today we have K9 Resorts franchise, Marty, on the show, a doggy daycare and overnight boarding franchise.
Wow. That's a big industry, too, isn't it? It's amazing how this industry has just skyrocketed, you know, over the last decade, you know, and the pet, you know, pets have certainly become, I know in your family it's a case. You've told me some interesting stories about your family, you know, with pets. I always remember the story of you said you, I think you were taking care of your parents' dog,
right.
And giving the dog Evian water.
Right.
Something. I don't know if you were joking or what.
No, it's true.
But it was okay. It's bottled
spring
water. Spring water.
Well, in our town, we have well water.
Oh, okay. Well,
which is not exactly the best water to drink. So.
Right.
But it's a pet, so it's not really that big a deal. But my parents, who are so into their pet, are not taking any chances with anything. So, hey, we had to give spring water.
Exactly.
So,
it's amazing how the pet is certainly, elevated in society, and the pet's a lot different today than it was 50 years ago in American society. So,
and pet franchises, you always, you never hear of those franchises struggling.
It's true.
Pizza. I mean, everybody, it's pets are part of the family. You're going to spend money. And, if you're going away for the day or for the week, put your dog in canine resorts, I guess.
Yeah, this is an interesting story of entrepreneurship, too. I know there's a story here. I think we're having Jason on today. But there's a pretty interesting story about entrepreneurship here that we'd like to hear about. And I think they're in your neck of the woods, too, Don. I think they're in New Jersey. So
okay.
Is New Jersey becoming the capital for franchising? Or
I don't know, but we have heard that.
We've
had a couple franchises on the show
based out
of New Jersey.
Yeah, we'll have to one day do like a pie graph or bar chart or something like that, and see where, our guests are calling in from, and get an idea. But that's pretty interesting, too. You had a couple interesting stories I know that we wanted to get to last week, and you're scanning the globe again.
Yeah, here's something from Inside Business, from Subway to Supercuts. I like these type of articles by Katie Adams. Thanks to the ongoing jobless recovery, more out-of-work or underemployed Americans are considering franchises as the answer to a bleak job market. The IFA forecasts that the industry will see 2.5% growth, nearly 20,000 new franchise establishments opening nationwide, creating almost 200,000 jobs. If you're considering franchise ownership, here are several do's and don'ts.
Mm-hmm.
They say, Marty, do your due diligence. A franchise is first and foremost a financial investment. You wouldn't sink your life savings into a mutual fund or real estate investment without research. The same holds for a franchise.
Right.
Stephen Story is as part of a franchise group law firm, Kaufman and Knowles, which provides legal services to both franchisors and franchisees. He says, in a perfect world, there's symmetry of interest. Good, healthy franchises support capable franchisees so that the venture is profitable and everyone makes money. Unfortunately, there are mediocre and bad franchises out there, just like in any industry, that I have a solid business working with franchisees that have buyer's remorse. The first step to make an informed decision is carefully reading the franchisor's franchise disclosure document, FDD for short. By law, all franchise systems are required to provide potential owners with an FDD. Next, talk with the current franchise owners. The FDD includes a list of all existing franchise owners and their phone numbers. It's critical to ask existing business owners fundamental questions like, has this been a good investment for you? Are you making money? Would you do it again? The real litmus test is current franchisees. If they're unhappy, that's a red flag. The next thing to do is take the tour. Most franchise systems offer some type of discovery day where potential franchisees can visit the company, meet the executives, tour a company-owned store, and get their questions answered. Others require more hands-on involvement. For example, Chick-fil-A requires that potential owners work at an existing store for a few days so they know what they're getting into.
My favorite, when I hear stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, next thing to do is be prepared to pay more. This person, Lang Etheridge, who opened her first Signs by Tomorrow franchise in Virginia at the beginning of the global recession, advises potential franchisees to be ready to dig deep into their own pockets. You have to be prepared to spend more than you projected to be able to weather all the economic ups and downs. Can't solely rely on your pro forma projections. She learned from experience and succeeded. The store was third out of 58 Signs by Tomorrow stores that increased their sales during 2010.
Wow.
Also, do know your strengths and weaknesses. You have to be resilient and positive. Attitude is everything. story, the attorney we just mentioned said independent risk takers might not be cut out for franchising. Ultimately, owning a franchise is about implementing someone else's business plan and model. If you're more of a maverick, it's not likely to be a great fit. Some good advice on what to do when looking into a franchise.
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice. I mean, even getting down into the psychology, Don, of, you know, talking about having a positive attitude. You know, when we had franchise guru George Native on the show, I mean, that was one of the first things he mentioned. You know, what keeps him going on at working at 80 years old, you know, is having a positive attitude. He said it's so easy to think negative, and it's a challenge to think positive. But I think that's what's one of the keys that's made him so successful, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, I think the article made a lot of great points. I always love going back to the one because I think a lot of these articles that you mentioned, sometimes I think they miss it about the importance of working in the franchise. And even if the franchise
right.
doesn't do it, why not ask them if you can, you know?
Right.
Say, you know, would you mind me working here for, you know, 3 days or 5 days? I know Aaron's does that, or when we had those guys on the show, I think it was 3 weeks you had to work for an Aaron's sales and lease before you could even talk about going
right.
to the next step. And if you liked it, you know, if it seemed like something for you, then, you know, then you continue the conversation. But what a great way to learn about a franchise just by doing it, you know. It's makes a lot of
right.
sense to me. So,
and then it goes over don'ts, Marty. Don't fall in love with a franchise, that is. Maybe you have always dreamed about owning a restaurant, so buying into Subway seems like a perfect fit. That's
mm-hmm.
a case of fantasized reality, Story warned. The danger is that while you might like the end product, that doesn't tell you anything about the franchisor. It doesn't tell you if the business is profitable, whether a competitor would make you more money, or if you're a good match for that franchise. Etheridge also warned against fantasizing about passing a franchise on to grown children. It's hard to make a franchise intergenerational because you don't know if your children will like the business or want the work that goes along with being self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
She should know both of her grown sons have worked at her store and decided it's not for them. Even if your children want to take the business over, that might not be an option. Most
right.
FBBs contain an initial 10-year agreement for the relationship. After that, the franchisor can either agree to renew the contract for another 10 years or end the relationship. There's no obligation on the part of the franchisor to maintain the relationship, and conceivably, that could leave the franchisee out of business. You know, sometimes
yeah,
we don't talk about that aspect. It's a 10-year
agreement.
You always assume, hey, automatically, if they're still in business and doing well, it's going to be resumed. And I guess that's
mm-hmm.
mostly the case if they have a good history, they're a good franchisee, but it's not always a definite.
No, it's not always a definite. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Don, because, you know, I think a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs, we call them franchipreneurs, don't actually know that. I think when they think they're buying into the franchise, that it's theirs for life. You know, I think it's
right.
a common misperception. You know, I know when I first got involved in franchising back in, I guess it was 99, I didn't know that, you know, initially. You know, when
yeah.
I just under the assumption that, yeah, it was yours, you know, you bought it. But no, after that 10-year period of time, I mean, if they do want to get rid of you, they can do that, you know, and
right.
that's important to know. You have to be careful.
Yep. Also, moving on, don't take their word for it. For example, even though Entrepreneur Magazine lists 7 restaurants, Dunkin' Donuts, Pizza Hut, Hardee's,
mm-hmm.
Denny's, McDonald's, Subway, KFC and 2 convenience stores, AMPM and 7-Eleven, within the top 20 franchise opportunities for 2011, if your town is already saturated with similar businesses, you'll face an uphill battle before you open the doors. Even without a business background, you know what's likely to go big or go bust in your hometown. Etheridge recalled that a franchise broker recommended 3 options. One was a stained glass business, which I knew was far too much of a niche business for this area. You know, that's also something you have to look into, competition. Don't underestimate the cost. Buying a franchise is not cheap. While many people focus on the cash required on most franchise advertisements, that's only one cost among many. You'll need to decide how much of your own savings you can afford to invest and how you'll finance the rest. While credit markets are starting to thaw, it can be difficult to find conventional financing. We all know the story with that. Etheridge recommended developing a relationship with a local bank to understand your financing options, or call Don Johnson at Diamond Financial.
There you go.
See how I slipped that in there? She says, I'm a big proponent.
Yeah, I was going to say, I forgot to mention on the do listen to Franchise Interviews, Don.
That's right. Boy, did we mess up there.
She says,
I'm a big proponent of keeping it local. It's about developing a long-term relationship with a bank that is interested and invested in your success as a business owner. Don't rush to retain a lawyer. Many potential franchise owners engage a lawyer too early in the process. You and I are big proponents of getting all the help in franchising with professionals, but they're saying don't hire an attorney too early. I tell professional franchisees to do their homework, and when they're sure this is the business for them, then start speaking with an attorney. He tells clients that good franchise relationships are like marriages. If this deal goes well, you will sign the document, put it in a drawer, and never pull it out again. If it goes badly, you'll pull the contract out and need to work with a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So this was inside business from Subway to Supercuts, although they didn't mention Supercuts in the article.
Where does the Supercuts come in? I was wondering, you know. But, with the whole thing with the attorney, too, and I think we mentioned this a week or two ago, is just to put that word franchise in front of the word attorney. You know, is there a lot of attorneys out there? Don't call any attorney. You know, call a franchise attorney, you know, a Nancy
right.
Leonard or, Kevin Hine, someone like that. You know, this is what they do. They do one thing, and they do it particularly well, is they handle franchise contracts,
right.
You know. Because I do believe that a regular attorney would miss a lot of different things when it comes to franchising, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. You have to. All attorneys have their specialty. It's good advice. Got to have a franchise attorney. This article was good at, really making sure you don't rush into your decision, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned the whole consultant thing, too. I think you threw a consultant in there. I don't know if the consultant steered someone towards a stained glass type of franchise, Don. You know,
right.
I think with franchise consultants, you know, we have had a lot of them on the show over the 4 years we've been doing it, and for the most part, they've really been amazing. The advice that they've given has been incredible. But sometimes I think you do have to be careful. You know, it's not all franchise consultants are created equal. I think some are better than others, and I think some might steer you towards the franchises perhaps maybe in their portfolio. You know, in other words, that's
right.
How they get paid. You know, as if you buy a franchise within their portfolio. So, you know, you want to be a little careful about that, too. You know, advice to the aspiring franchipreneur is, take the advice with, a grain of salt.
Yeah.
It's ultimately your decision in the end. So, I mean, I think that's a great article. So, once again, I think you hit the nail on the head, Don. So, great article. So
yeah.
Why don't we do this? I see Jason has called in, Don. So let's take we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Big mouth.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth Advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs a one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you're ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we're meeting with Jason Parker from the Canine Resorts Franchise Opportunity. And in this segment, we'll discuss everything Canine Resorts, doggy daycare, and overnight boarding franchise, and the unique entrepreneurial story of the founders, Jason and Stephen Parker. Hey, Jason, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing fantastic, Jason. Thank you. And Jason, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson. And I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Jason.
Yeah, hey, Jason. I'm a fellow New Jerseyan and part of a family that loves pets, so I think this is a good fit for today's show.
Great, great. Well, good morning. What part of Jersey are you from?
Monmouth County, by the shore.
Okay, great.
The Middletown, Red Bank area.
Perfect, perfect.
Yes, and I'm originally from Jersey, too, Jason. My wife is from the shore area, the Aberdeen area, and I'm originally from Sayreville, New Jersey, you know, so very familiar with where you guys are located out in Pennsylvania now. But we're always happy to have a franchise from New Jersey. Don's declaring New Jersey the franchise capital of the world.
Right.
So,
right, well, that's where we're growing the brand of Canine Resorts, and we're going to start right here in Jersey where we already have our corporate store and our first franchisee signed as well, and we're
wow,
just really excited
great.
About it.
That's fantastic. Excellent. I thought we could start off, Jason, describing you know, how Canine Resorts Daycare and Luxury Hotel was founded. I know it's an interesting story.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first we have to jump into when Stephen and I were young teenagers and we started Canine Guardians, which was a professional pet sitting and dog walking company. That's what we had before Canine Resort was founded. And the bottom line is our parents never allowed us a dog growing up. We were always dog people, my brother and I, and our parents just were not. My dad was attacked by a dog when he was a little child, and that just scarred him for a while.
Right.
So we never had one growing up, and all our neighbors around us did have dogs. So my brother and I were thinking of ways, creative ways on how we can interact with them on a regular basis. So we would knock on the door, and that's when I was 12 and Stephen was 14, and we just asked, can we take your dog out for a walk? Can we watch them? Is there any help that we can provide for you guys? And they were a little bit hesitant in the beginning. A lot of the neighbors, we were young, and you know, they didn't just want to give us their dog and let us take them for a walk. And then one day we found our one neighbor had just come home with a brand new dog that he adopted. It was about a year old Doberman Pinscher. And, you know, we would always say hello to this neighbor and talk, but we really didn't know him that well until he got this dog, Mindy. And we would go over. He said, anytime I'm out here in the yard, he had a great fenced-in backyard, you're more than welcome to come over and play with Mindy and care for her and the whole nine yards. So I was the first one that talked to this neighbor. His name was Bob. He was a retired gentleman. And when my brother got home from work, he had a part-time job at a restaurant. I told him the great news that Bob has this dog and we can go over. He said we're welcome to go over anytime he's out and play with this dog. And it was like the best thing in the world for us. So we started watching his dog, you know, one step at a time. When he would go away on vacation, he'd go away for a day and say, here's the key to my house. Come in and take Mindy out every couple hours, feed her, and things like that. And then as time went on, he saw how responsible we were, how we always showed up, we never canceled, and he would start going away for an overnight, and then a weekend, and then a week. And it was great. I mean, a lot of this was during the summer where we didn't have school, and we would just walk right next door, hop the fence, go into Bob's house, take out Mindy. I mean, we were there more than we were at home. And our parents weren't that thrilled with that, but Stephen and I were. And so from there, the word started to spread. Bob started telling a friend and telling a neighbor, I have these great neighbors, and they'll come over. And in the beginning, we didn't even charge for it. We did it for nothing because we just wanted to have the opportunity to play with dogs. And I'll never forget, we had a client who was the director for one of the classes at the high school where my brother went to school, and he was the athletic director, and he hired us. At that point, we were charging, and that's when our business really, you know, took off, because he told people that he knew in the community. He told other teachers, colleagues of his, and that's when we really started, you know, putting flyers out and business cards and having printed material for our business. So we turned that into a dog walking and pet sitting company, and my brother attended an international seminar in Nashville, Tennessee, for professional pet sitting. I never knew that something like that even existed. And he was just inspired. He met these two young women who left their jobs in corporate America, and they had one of the largest pet sitting companies at that time, and they were grossing over $500,000 a year. And he came back to New Jersey and shared this experience with me. And we said, you know what, we were still young teenagers, and we said, this is the industry we want to get into. We can do something that we love, and we can do it for a living. And shortly thereafter, we came up with the idea to open Canine Resorts, daycare and luxury hotel, which could be a place that people can drop their dogs off if they have to go away for a weekend or a week or a month or whatever the case may be. And the dogs can really be pampered, and we can really take care of these dogs the way we would as if they were our own. And we had introduced cage-free boarding to this area, and something like that never existed in 2005 around here. And when we opened, we had these magnificent suites that were 10 by 10 in size, the size of some people's bedrooms in this area, some children's bedrooms. And they had premium beds, they had outdoor window views, TVs tuned to Animal Planet, and the buzz went around so quickly, it was an instant success.
Wow. So it seems like you guys were destined to do this, doesn't it, Don?
Absolutely. Yeah, it sounds
from
like
a young
age. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we were the first ones out of all of our classmates to have jobs. I had a job at 13. Stephen had a job at 14, whether that's legal or not, who knows. But we just, I mean, we were the first ones. We always had that spirit. We had a great work ethic, which is, you know, one of the characteristics that we look for in a franchisee.
So, Jason, people listening, why should they invest in Canine Resorts? I mean, how is it different from your competition? You mentioned the cageless, and it looks like you're doing some innovative things. I mean, people always a little, you know, worried about who they're going to leave their pet with. I guess you have that all, you know, figured out. But people listening, why should they invest in Canine?
Well, there's a couple of different reasons. Firstly, we have a proven track record. We've been doing this for 12 years now since our pet sitting business, and 6 years specifically the Canine Resorts. And we've proven that not just with one business, but with our pet sitting and now with our hotel, we know what we're talking about. And we're very different, both in the consumer market with our location in Fanwood and with the franchising. In the consumer market, we offer something really special, cage-free dog boarding, which is just so different than the traditional boarding kennels that are out there. Our facilities are very clean. We use only the best hospital-grade disinfectants. You can walk into our hotel here in Fanwood anytime for a tour, and you'll just be taken back by the decor, the cleanliness, the friendly and knowledgeable staff, and you know, the largest cage-free rooms anywhere around. And specifically with franchising, we really plan on over-supporting our franchisees. And what I mean by that is we're going to hold their hand through every step of the process. And it starts with picking out a territory that can support a business like Canine Resorts, to lease negotiations, zoning, construction, and then lastly, the grand opening, marketing, and festivities. We're going to be there to help them. And I think, you know, without us, it can be overwhelming for a person that's just going to start a business. Starting up a business is not an easy thing. And Stephen and I are going to walk them through the entire step and everything through the process. And Canine Resorts has been voted number one pet service by New Jersey Monthly Magazine and the Courier News. And
wow,
those are two huge awards that really prove to everyone out there what sets us apart.
You brought up a good point about starting up a business is tough, and that's what I was going to ask you. Why go the franchising route? I guess, I mean, obviously a proven business model. I guess you feel that's your best option for growth of Canine, as well as the best chance for the franchisee to be successful with the support you're talking about.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, someone can go in and, you know, go to a bank and look for financing and try to get financed on a startup business, and as you gentlemen both know, it's not an easy thing right now. And people are more likely, I think, to succeed with the franchise because there's a proven track record. We've learned from our mistakes, and no one can say that they didn't make mistakes because everyone has. But Stephen and I have learned from our mistakes. We've implemented different procedures to kind of correct those mistakes, and we have everything figured out. And someone can buy into the system and really get the support without being lost. And even, you know, banks are not financing many things out there. We have preferred lenders that have said, if you find the right franchisee that meets our criteria, because they're going with the Canine Resorts brand and they're getting so much support behind them, we will finance.
You mentioned the right franchisee, Jason. Who would that be? I mean, who's your ideal? What types of characteristics are you looking for in prospective franchisees or someone who expresses interest in buying into your franchise opportunity? What do you look for?
Well, we look for someone who has a love for dogs and is also business savvy. And from the first time we interact with a potential franchisee, we start evaluating them. Everything from how they answer the phone, the way that they answer our questions, the level of dedication we think they have. And we want to get to know them. We talk to them on the phone initially. Then we send them out an application. And then we invite them in to have a tour of the facility. And almost like an interview process here between Stephen and I. Because what's different about our brand is that, and what we tell people is that we don't sell franchises. We award them to qualified buyers, meaning if someone comes in and has the money to open up a Canine Resorts and we don't feel they have the right qualities, the work ethic, the dedication, and they're not really interested in what they're doing, we won't sell them a franchise.
Wow.
Are the let me just ask something real quick, Jason. Are the Papillons, you know, some of your better clients? My family's had a few Papillons.
Right. Well,
those are small little dogs, Marty.
An interesting fact, we find that when our clients come in with the smaller dogs, like the Papillons, the Bichons, the Toy Poodles, they're putting them in the luxury suites. They're spending top dollar, getting them the largest accommodations with all the bells and whistles, adding on tons of extra services.
Wow.
Because these are little pocket dogs that they're carrying around with them, and
right.
they're spoiled. The larger dogs, the German Shepherds, the Mastiffs, things like that, they're saying, you know, a cage is fine, a large cage, of course. Let them run around in the daycare all day. Let them exercise. And he can sleep in a cage. He can tough it out.
That's
funny.
It is. It's something. Well, we were talking in segment one, Jason, about, you know, how the pet is certainly elevated in society, you know, from, you know, if you look at the 50-year history, you know, of the pet, the industry is amazing. I mean, when you look at the numbers, are there any hard numbers on the industry as far as, like, how big it is or...
The American Pet Products Association says that $45.4 billion was spent on pet care services in 2009. Ooh. Now, that's everything with pet food and pet grooming and pet boarding, $3.4 billion in boarding and grooming services alone. So what that means is that Americans spend more money on pet care than going to the movies, playing video games, and listening to recorded music combined.
Amazing.
Really is. Next, Jason, let's I guess you have a pretty good training program.
We do. What we do is, as I mentioned before, we're going to make sure that each and every franchise is more than prepared before opening. And each franchisee will have on-site training here at Canine Resorts Corporate Training Center in Fanwood, New Jersey. They will receive an operations manual, which is over 300 pages, and it lists everything there is to know about Canine Resorts procedures, everything from how to check in a pet with screenshots of the specific software that we use, giving step-by-step instructions to the color of socks you must wear on your uniform. We've written everything out and basically are going to tell our franchisees exactly what to do. And they're also going to get training here at our location. We're going to be at their location all through construction, making sure that everything is set up properly. And we're just really going to be with them every step of the way. We don't want to be the franchise company out there that you sign up, you pay our fee, we give you some instruction, and you're out there on your own throughout the process. Or after you open, you have questions and you don't get the support that you deserve. We are going to be very hands-on. Steve and I are going to be involved throughout every step of the process. And that's why in the beginning we're focusing on the Northeast, more specifically New Jersey, because we want to be able to be within not only a phone call but a car drive away. If there's an issue at our location, let's say in Livingston or Paramus, those are two areas that our franchisee is looking at right now, we're going to jump in the car and get over there, and we're going to solve the problem because that's just the type of relationship we want to have with our franchisees.
You have put one in the Marlboro, Manalapan, Colts Neck Freehold area. I mean, it's almost a guaranteed winner, I think.
Well, it's funny that you say that. We just met with two gentlemen, the father and son, that are looking into the franchise right now, and they're hopefully going to be our number two franchisees. And those are the areas that they're looking at, Homedale, Manalapan,
right.
Those areas that are in need of a canine resorts.
Does the franchisee have to have much insurance with this type of business? I mean, sometimes don't dogs fight or dog can get sick? I mean, is there much in the way of insurance that needs to be carried?
They really are not. Most people do ask that question. It's a very good question, how much insurance is really required. And we list a figure in our FDD. But there really isn't, you know, it's not that expensive. You asked about do dogs fight or get sick. Here at Canine Resorts, we're very strict about the dogs that can participate in the doggy daycare program, which is the group socialization playtime where they all mix together. And all the dogs go through a very strict temperament test, and we evaluate them almost like we evaluate our potential franchisees to make sure that they're going to fit in well with the group. And we turn away a lot of dogs for doggy daycare just because they're either not enjoying it or they're just not fit for the group. They're a little bit more aggressive than we'd like to see. And most doggy daycares don't do that because, you know, they see someone coming in as a client and they don't want to turn away the buck. But, you know, our vision and our ways of doing business is just that that's just not acceptable. If a dog isn't 100% friendly with other dogs and doesn't pass our test, they can't get in for doggy daycare. If we have a dog that wants to board with us that doesn't do well with other dogs, they can definitely board with us and they'll get human interaction, walks and play times with the staff instead of going into the group play. Which that's another thing that some of our competition doesn't offer. A lot of doggy daycare and overnight boarding facilities that are out there require the dogs go into the doggy daycare program. And they're limiting themselves on who they can accept as potential clients because not every dog is social with others. And, you know,
right.
We're strict on that. And we can also offer other types of services for people who have dogs that don't meet the requirements.
So what's your prediction moving forward, Jason? You think you'll get along more with the dogs or your future franchisees?
I don't know. That's a difficult question to answer. But I'll tell you, it's probably going to be a lot easier to deal with the dogs than the franchisees.
Yeah.
Quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's fantastic. And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Thank you.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews. We're asking the franchisepreneurs of 1-1. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And we have a great show today. We're meeting with Jason Parker from the K9 Resorts Franchise Opportunity. And today we're discussing everything K9 Resorts, a doggy daycare, an overnight boarding franchise, and the unique entrepreneurial story of the founders, Jason and Stephen Parker. And Jason, I thought we might be able to go back for 1 second to the location factor. What kind of location works best for this type of franchise opportunity and how much space is required?
Sure, sure. We're looking for locations that are between 5,000 and 7,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be standalone buildings with an ample area for outdoor courtyards so the dogs can run around and exercise and eliminate out there. And we're looking for more higher-end towns because, you know, Canine Resorts, I wouldn't say it's expensive, but it's a little bit more than a traditional kennel. But we feel that you're getting a lot more, you know, with respect to all the things that we have. I mean, we have special floors in all of the dog enclosure areas that'll actually kill odor and bacteria on contact. We have ventilation systems spread out throughout the entire facility to keep everything fresh and clean so that we can really fight against airborne disease as best as we can. And there's just so many things that are behind the scenes at a canine resorts that just makes it so special. So, but to answer your question, between 5,000 and 7,000 square feet in more higher-end areas.
More higher-end areas. And it doesn't necessarily need to be on a major highway or anything like that where, you know, thousands of cars pass by or...
It really doesn't because we're more of a destination. And people that are coming to us, they know about us, they know who we are, they know where we are. And, I mean, we have a great location. We're on South Avenue in Fanwood, which is considered a county highway. But it's not a big, you know, interstate. It's just a smaller, it really looks like a smaller road. They consider it a county highway. So we do get good traffic, and we do have a good location. We're easy to get to. But we're definitely not going to be in the heart of industrial parks like some places are.
So the experience. Go ahead, Marty.
I was going to say, you know, Jason and Stephen have been doing this a long time. To put you on the spot, Jason, I mean, is there anything? What's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you since starting this? Anything stand out? I mean, I know the awards are great. It must have been fantastic for you. I mean, those are pretty big awards, like the Courier News, you know, and the New Jersey Magazine, which I'm familiar with.
Sure.
So congratulations on that. But anything else stand out?
I mean, I really think, and this is something that we're going to stress upon our franchisees, we're very involved in the community. We like to give back in any way that we can. And Steve and I were born and raised in Scotch Plains, and where we still live. And our business is here in Fanwood, which for people that are familiar with the area, we share a school system. It's the Scotch Plains Fanwood High School. And we really try to help the community in any way we can. We've done several fundraisers. One was for the Scotch Plains Police Department Canine Unit, which fit in great with our business. They recently got a canine unit in Scotch Plains, and we raised funds to provide bulletproof vests for the canine dogs so that they can be safe and protected when they're out on routine patrol.
Wow.
So I think that's really something that's pretty special. We've done other fundraisers. We just most recently helped out in a community dog walk in Scotch Plains. It was the first annual Rotary dog walk, and Stephen and I were both on the committee to help with that, put that together, and we're proud to report that even with all the rain we had on Sunday, we had over 100 dogs participate, and we just feel that everyone had a great time. People, our customers, and other people that were at the event were just very, very pleased with the turnout and the way everything went. And we're just happy to help out.
That's great.
You're doing a good job explaining, you know, everything, Jason.
Thank you. Would you believe it's my first live radio interview?
No. Well, you can hear the passion in your voice, too. You know, it's, and I said this earlier, Jason, it sounds like you and your brother, you know, were kind of destined to do this, you know, and I study entrepreneurship, you know, so it sounds like at an early age, you know, you guys knew that you would be doing not necessarily this, but something definitely similar to this. You know, I'm not surprised that this is the business that you guys went into, you know, and you'll probably continue doing the rest of your lives because you can hear the passion in your voice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Important.
We knew we knew from day one of launching Canine Resorts that we were going to make this into something big. As you said, we didn't know from day one when we started watching our neighbors' pets that this is something that, you know, we were going to do for the rest of our life. But ever since we launched Canine Resorts, we tried to do everything possible in the most professional manner. And that was because we knew we were going to either expand through corporate stores or through franchising. And Steve and I have been kicking around the idea of franchising for years now. It's not something that we just jumped into. We did our research, we did our homework, and one of our major concerns was someone, a franchisee, getting into the system and not following our strict guidelines. And we discussed this potential issue with our general counsel, and he recommended that we engage with a franchise advisor who could guide us through the process and help coach us along the way. And he recommended Steve Beagleman. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him.
Yeah,
or
he was
not
on our show many years ago, and he's incredible. I think he's one of the best when it comes to things like that.
He's in Pennsylvania. Yeah, he's near you, Marty.
He is. He's only about an hour drive.
Yeah.
And we've engaged with his firm, SMB Franchise Advisors. And what they do in a nutshell is they are an outsourced CEO, CFO, field training person, real estate expert, and so much more. They really held our hand, as we're doing for our franchisees, through the whole process of setting up the FDD and, interviewing potential franchisees, and their experience with franchising is just incredible. I'm sure Steve was the former vice president of Salad Works and Rita's Italian Ice and the CEO of Hollywood Cans. So he takes these large companies that have, 100 stores and brings them to 400, but he also helps smaller startup franchises like us go from one or two locations to 200 or 300, which is where we want to be.
Yeah, exactly. That's fantastic. So what's the best way, Jason, for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Are there any websites they can go to? Are there any numbers that they can call?
Absolutely. They can. First, I would recommend they go to www.canineresorts.com. It's the letter K, the number 9, resorts, R-E-S-O-R-T-S.com. And that's our consumer site. They can find out a lot of information there about Canine Resorts. And then they can click on the franchising tab, want to own your own Canine Resorts. That'll bring them to another site that'll explain everything about franchising. Canine Resorts to them. They can always give us a call at 908-889-PETS, which is 889-7387. That was actually, coincidentally, the original number we used for our pet sitting company.
Wow, that's fantastic. I want to thank you again, Jason. You've been a fantastic guest, and Don and I would like to have you guys back in the near future as you continue to grow.
Anytime. It's our pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Nice job, Jason.
And have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, definitely passionate, and
they're
doing something different. And hopefully my family's pet could stay there one day.
Exactly. Well, it's just amazing, the industry, when you look at the numbers. It's just it's incredible when we talk about pets. How much money this country consumes on pets is just, it's amazing. And it seems like the numbers keep going up, not down, So, yeah, absolutely. So I think they got a good thing, and, we'll keep our eye on them. And, we'll have them back next year.
Definitely.
So good job, Don. And for everyone listening, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com, franchiseworldradio.com. I got that down, don't I, Don?
Yeah, I'm just reeling them off.
Thanks. Good job, Don. We'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Take care, Marty.